Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to another episode of Playing Through Golf Podcast. My name is William Starcevich. I'm here with
Chris Lopez,
Travis White,
at the crossroads of Mercer County. We're super excited today. We're all jazzed up. We played golf yesterday.
Yeah.
In some form of windstorm. Yeah, it was only breezy. 20 mile per hour.
It was breezy.
It was breezy yesterday, but it was nice and warm, and we played in shorts.
And all three of us played golf.
Yeah.
Including Travis.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call my display playing golf.
Well, let's just say that we covered the 80s, 90s, and the 100s.
Yeah, it was a display.
There were some shots you hit that were outstanding, and some that it was stood out. How about that?
There's a pond on 11 that still has a couple of my golf balls.
Well,
they went straight in, and I don't even think it got a foot off the ground. It just went straight in.
It was ugly.
You know, I watched it. Yeah,
it was pretty pathetic.
I thought maybe the reeds would hold it up, but it didn't.
Yeah, I was happy. I still had two birdies.
So, yes, you did. Two birdies and some. Bomb prodigious drives. Yeah.
Bomb drives. I went past Travis a couple times.
Yeah, blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that blind squirrel over there was hitting balls into other fairways.
I was just glad to be the winner for the day. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sure you were.
I played terrible.
Yeah, you did. Not going to lie.
Man, he's not even. He's
actually, I bet it was about the same as when you played Indian Bluff a week or so ago.
See, if he had played with us all summer, this wouldn't be a problem.
No, it wouldn't be.
I was busy.
And if he would just listen to us.
We're going to work on it this week, this winter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of this winter, we are legitimately just a few days away from it being overnight lows in the 20s and golf season officially a wrap. That was probably
our last. I mean, they said maybe December we might get some warm weather, and, of course, we'll always find a course if we get that weather.
But even if we got to drive south a couple hours.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, I think you and I will get some at Christmas time down in Georgia, but I'm pretty sure that may be our last round for the year
here. That would be my guess.
Hold on. Listen to you guys. About what?
What do you mean?
About what?
My golf game. You guys say I don't listen to you guys.
You don't listen to us.
You don't.
What do you say?
Change your stance. Change a lot of things. You don't.
Yeah,
I did change my stance.
Yeah, right. And then for one swing, and then you went right back
to your old one.
Oh.
You don't line up on the right side of the tee. You hood your driver. It's mind numbing.
Yeah.
I did pretty good about.
On the Garmin, he's a pro.
Dude, seriously. I mean, indoors in general, he's actually pretty good. But outdoors, come on, just listen to us. We know what we're talking about. We've actually spent a whole summer working on it.
I'll try. We'll see what happens.
I like the effort. Mm-hmm. Hey, so this weekend's PGA event was in Mexico?
Mexico.
Mayacoba.
Viva Mexico.
And a guy from, I don't know, probably the coldest climate.
Yeah, Norway.
Norway has won it 2 years in a row. Yep. Victor Hovland.
Yeah, gets a nice tan down there. He gets real red.
Was he 23 under?
Yeah, 23 or 24. He was within
three or four. They said he was pretty dominant, and somebody this morning on Twitter said that he looks really sharp right now. So, but I mean, it's early, you know. I mean, he sticks around all season long. He's not one of those kids that drops off. But
he made $1.2 million, I think, in this event.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, he's going to be vying for a major at some point.
Like you said during the Ryder Cup, if the European team on the Ryder Cup is not building their team around him and Jon Rahm,
then they're stupid.
They're
stupid.
Right.
Kid's got some game. I mean, he came out at the same time as who? Morikawa? Who else?
Yeah, he would be that age.
I know he's 24.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a year or two younger than Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. Where was he at? Okie State?
Yep.
Yeah, he was an Okie State guy, and I believe DeChambeau is a Texas guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, next week, the part of we're talking about right now is we're going to go through some of the college teams that have been the most dominant over the last decade or so.
There's a few of them.
And some of their, big-time players. Like Wake Forest was where Arnold Palmer went to Wake Forest.
He's a Wake Forest guy?
He's a Wake Forest guy.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, I take back my comment.
Yeah, no, it was just, and I believe they still have a scholarship in his name there. But you don't see a lot of Wake Forest golfers anymore.
Mm-mm.
And, he was a Pennsylvania guy, but went south, and Ohio State would be Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus.
And do you ever see any golfers from?
Not many.
Ohio State?
Not
it just
really,
doesn't
no.
happen like that.
No. I mean, you see more like the Stanfords, the Arizonas, the.
Yeah, the UCLAs, the.
The UNLV.
UNLV used to be huge.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking that it's only the Dumb and Dumber guy. Charlie Hoffman. I think he's a UNLV guy.
Yeah, he's a UNLV guy.
But anyway, that'll be for next week's episode.
Next week. We'll talk about it.
So Victor Hovland, lights out. that young man is already a multimillionaire.
We'll probably mention him a few more times.
Yeah, a few more times. We do have some more events coming up, but 1 year ago at this time, we were gearing up to watch the 2020 Masters, which just sounds weird.
Yeah.
It was in November, right? Well, Thanksgiving's a couple weeks away. Let's revisit the Masters from this year. And one of the things that we talked about a little bit is a tradition that they have there that they don't really have at any other place.
Like no other.
Like no other. It is like no other. And that's the champion's dinner. So the defending champion, he gets to host, or actually the current champion before the tournament starts, they host a dinner and he sets the menu.
Does he pay for it or not?
I would say...
That's a solid question.
That is a really good question.
I think Phil said that he had to pay for the alcohol because he wanted to have like a really expensive wine. They said, well, that's going to cost you...
X amount.
I think they pay for the booze, but I think the food is provided by the club.
You would think so. And you know, if you'd won the Masters, you worried about it?
Not really.
No, because I think it's almost a $2 million take home now, not like it was back in the day.
And then the sponsorship so you pick up because of it.
Oh, well.
You're going to make a few bucks. I mean, people are going to want to put their name on your shirt because you just won the Masters.
The people that you're asking are probably comping it.
Yeah.
Right? So we kind of posed this question to each other last week, and I kind of want to go around the room here and, you know, each one of us will say which one or what our Masters dinner would be if we were a Master champion.
The outgoing champion has to pay for it.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
No kidding.
Yep.
So Tiger had to pay for Phil's, and then Phil had to turn around and pay for Tiger's.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, there's some guys on here that I went through, and I've got like the last 20-something years of what their meals were.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. It gets more elaborate as you get closer to this time, mm-hmm. you know, to present day. But let's go back to Tiger Woods won the Masters the first time in, what was it, 1998?
Mm-hmm.
So the defending champ, the one that had to pick up his tab, was Nick Faldo.
Okay.
So Nick Faldo was the champ in 1997. I want you guys to take a guess of what his Masters meal consisted of. Now, think about where he's from, his age,
mm-hmm.
and that it's still in the 1990s.
Okay.
1997.
I'm going to go with some form of sushi.
I was going to say, like, yeah, some type of seafood.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct at seafood,
mm-hmm.
but get a little more specific.
Fish tacos.
I would go with that, yeah. I'm going to go with that.
Fish and chips and tomato soup.
That was his meal.
Yep.
The whole meal.
Fish and chips and tomato soup.
Oh, man, I'd be bringing in a bag of McDonald's shit.
Right, seriously.
Funny you should say that, because Tiger Woods, who won it the next year, which is kind of what all the hoopla started with this whole meal,
mm-hmm.
was because of what, Chris?
Fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller. When Tiger won in 1999,
about put your foot in your mouth. Jesus.
And I'm not going to say he's racist. The statement that he made was very racist. I don't know if he's racist. I don't know what's in his heart. Right? I don't know.
I mean, I think he's... I don't think he is, but I think he was trying to... I
think he was trying to be funny. He's always that guy.
It's kind of like the humor between us.
Right.
I mean, first of all, you guys both called me Nacho, which is... I mean, in many circles would be seen as a racist comment.
That would be.
Yeah, it would be seen as racist. But we have a humor between us that is like no other.
Yeah.
So, and I think that he was making an attempt at humor. I don't think he seriously was trying to be racist. I think he respected Tiger. I think he respects everybody out there. But he just tried to make a bad joke, and it just was...
Oh, it was so bad.
It was so bad.
Travis, what did I put on your hat that 1 year that I had everybody's name put on there? Gigantor?
Yeah.
Okay. See, yeah, I'm not...
I'm a decent-sized dude. I get it.
I mean...
Well, yeah, compared to me, you're huge.
Yeah, I mean, we have things... I mean, you guys have... I mean, we've already had a show this year where you guys tease me about my head size... You know, so because it's like 9.5, you call it a 9.5 hat size.
I know it's not over 9.25.
No, that's shit.
Okay, so Tiger, in 1999, what do you think he had?
Oh God.
Burgers.
Steak.
Cheeseburgers, chicken sandwiches, French fries, and milkshakes.
Nice.
Now that's coming from what was he? 22, God, Chris? 23.
He may as well have been 12.
21. Picked his first one. When he got to pick his first menu, he was 22.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you got to picture
that's
that
straight
room.
Out of middle school right yep. there. Right. That is straight out of middle school.
Yeah, or straight out of the dorm room, right?
Yeah.
Like you're going through the line, grabbing that.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. 1999, Tiger Woods is 21 and some change. He wins the Masters. He's got one of the, you know, stuffy old guys in Fuzzy Zeller saying what he said.
Yeah.
And then the next year he comes in like, hey, man, I'm a rock star now, dude.
Yeah.
And we're going to have, like, you know, you got to figure he's already made millions of dollars. He signed that contract for $40 million with Nike that same year before he won, actually.
Right.
So he comes in, he's like, cheeseburgers, chicken sandwich, french fries, and milkshakes. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Yeah, what's up, man?
I mean, I don't think there's, I mean, back then, I don't think there was a guy on tour that would have complained about that.
No, but you got to think of that room, though. Ben Crenshaw would have been in there.
Yeah.
You know, not Seve.
So, I mean, before them,
the other Spaniards.
I mean, before them, what were some of the meals? Like, were we talking filet mignon, or are we talking...
Well, see, I didn't go much past that, but it got pretty blah. But as you go... You know, closer to modern day.
Or do they use a local variety of meal, or?
Well, Vijay Singh, the next one up after Tiger Woods. So actually, I don't have 2000 on there. 2001, Vijay won it, and his was more of along the lines of what I would picture, you know, for a Masters dinner, especially somebody who, is he from Australia or New Zealand? I can't remember now. Vijay Singh.
Is it Fiji?
Fiji. Yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. So his was like seafood, tom kha, chicken. Pang curry, baked sea scallops, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And then Tiger Woods wins 2002. All right, well, now he's, you know, mid-20s.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go porterhouse steak, chicken, and sushi as an appetizer.
Sounds like something you'd take on a date.
Whoa.
I just was throwing that out
there. Only if he swings by the ATM.
That's what I was going to say.
I knew that was coming.
The ATM was going to come out at some point.
And then Tiger wins the next year, basically a copy of the same... And then you get Mike Weir, who's a Canadian.
Canadian.
Right? Elk and wild boar.
I was just going to say, was he going to go with some sort of animal?
So I just thought. And then Phil Mickelson wins after Weir, two lefties in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a California kid.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in San Diego, went to school at ASU. Lobster ravioli.
That's okay. Not bad.
All right.
I give him that.
And then you go back to Tiger. Stuffed jalapenos, quesadilla. Appetizers.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go back to Phil again. Barbecue ribs, chicken, sausage. Zach Johnson, 2008.
It's got to be something with pork if he's from Iowa.
Iowa beef.
I was going to say beef, mashed potatoes, corn.
It just says Iowa beef and Florida shrimp.
The hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird. And then you get Trevor Emmelman, South Africa?
I was going to say either that or...
I think he's South African.
I think you're right.
I don't even know what this is.
We'll say it.
Bubutai? A spiced minced meat pie with an egg topping. And then there's sosades, a type of chicken.
Jesus.
A chicken skewer, spinach salad, milk tart, and South African wines. Okay, there. I guess that's
probably... What the hell?
And then you have Angel Cabrera.
Oh, boy.
Argentine asada,
mm-hmm.
So just the way it's prepared.
That should be the way it should be. If
right?
He's coming from Argentina, they make a good meal.
And then Phil Mickelson again in 2011, a Spanish-themed menu, blah, 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 goes through. Mm-hmm. Well, you get up to current times, right?
Right.
Adam Scott was 2014, surf and turf on the grill.
Of course.
He's Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Spieth.
Shrimp on the barbie.
He put another shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, so Jordan Spieth, of course, he's got...
something from Texas.
Yep, something from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go Danny Willett, Sergio Garcia, very Spanish-flavored.
Mm-hmm.
2019, and I kind of blocked this out, that Patrick Reed had won the Masters.
Oh, God damn it.
So Patrick Reed, 2019. Well, you get a choice of a Caesar salad or a wedge salad.
A wedge salad.
Main course, prime bone-in cowboy rib.
Who wants a damn wedge of salad?
Yeah.
A side of macaroni and cheese.
That's a very Georgia kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's cheesecake in there for dessert, whatnot, blah, blah, blah.
I know DJ had steak and chicken fajitas for his.
Tiger did the fajitas one time, too, and I think it was a 2020 win. But I just thought that was kind of cool that it kind of goes with where their locale is and where they are in life.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
And what got them there, and it's influenced by their meal. I just thought that was kind of cool. So, Travis...
Oh, I got to go first?
You got to go first.
Well, appetizer would probably be like shrimp cocktail or something like that. Something easy. Then the main course, a filet with Julie Carlson. I don't know if you know her from this area. Her cheesy potatoes are bomb. So I'd have that. Then dessert, Happy Joe's Oreo fluff.
Oh,
straight out of Iowa. Man, that is just straight.
Oh, I thought straight out of the
Midwestern
trailer park.
Meal. That is a straight.
Straight out of the trailer park.
That's a Guttenberg special.
And a case of Busch Light.
A case of Busch Light.
You don't want it on tap? Does Busch Light lose its...
Oh, no. Out of a keg? Oh. Actually, if we're drinking beer out of a keg, then you're going to go Natty Light.
Okay.
Ooh, but if you want... Oh, it's,
Natty Light.
Oh, it's so
don't
good.
They have a lemonade one now?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, but that's lame.
Yeah, say, God, I hope not.
All right, I'm just
but
asking.
Yeah, that is mine. Steak, potatoes.
Okay.
That's straight Midwest, man.
It is. That's pretty good.
Midwest.
Chris, who, now, you weren't born in Colorado, were you?
I was born in Colorado. Born and raised.
Okay, born and raised in Denver, Colorado-ish.
Yep.
And then later in life, you moved to Iowa for grad school?
I did grad school once I was in Iowa. So I started out in Iowa as a teacher for about 15 years. And then I've been 15 years on this side of the river in Illinois. But I did my grad school, my grad work at Northern Iowa, you know, while it was in Iowa. And so, you know, my undergrad is at Northern Colorado, so.
Okay. So what are you going with?
So I'm a person who has great tastes in Mexican food. And honestly, knowing that it's a formal affair, I couldn't be that formal. I mean, I still get crap at school because I don't ever wear dress shoes. I always have tennis shoes on of some sort. I've been this way my entire life. I don't believe in formalities and things like that. So I would roll up a taco wagon and start serving it out of there, and then they can take it in the dining room however they want to. But there's going to be, you know, steak tacos, steak burritos, chicken, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And then for dessert, I would literally have my wife make this lemon dessert that is like melt in your mouth good. And it's a very Midwestern thing. So it's a Belgian.
Okay.
So it would be a little bit of that. But I would stick with it. I mean, that's what I grew up on. My grandmother, every day I would go to her house and it would be some sort of Mexican fare. And so that's what I grew up on, and tortillas and whatever she had in the house.
All right. Well, I put some thought into this.
Uh-oh.
And mine is very similar to Chris's, but mine is kind of influenced by most of my adult life, which I've spent traveling all over the West Coast and Southwest.
Yeah.
So.
In the Asian continent, haven't you?
Oh, yes, that's true too.
All right.
So, but this is the menu is a little more themed towards my work in the Southwest and West Coast. So, you know, I hadn't really thought about an appetizer because. When I bring Carlos in, you know, to do the cooking, Carlos worked, he was my irrigation tech at Superstition Springs in Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, Carlos would be firing up the grill over the carbon mesquite charcoal.
Right.
And I would have to drive all the way to the other side of the valley to a carniceria, which is Spanish for butcher shop. And I would order up my carne asada, ranchera style, in the marinade. And I love when I go in there, and I would typically, for the maintenance crew, I would order 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So it'd be 5 libras of the carne asada ranchera. Oh, and they would look at me like I was from the moon. And I'd be like, you know, I'm like a pasty white guy, you know, as I'm in the barrio. And in that, then I'd drive back to Gilbert because there was a tortilla shop there that you could literally watch the tortillas coming off the conveyor. They're steaming hot, and they put them in the bag. You open the bag, and they're still steaming. And so we're getting the tortillas from there. We're getting the carne asada from a place just off. It's in El Mirage, Arizona, just off of Grand Highway. Again, take somebody with you if you're going down there.
Yep.
You got to at least look the part a little bit. So I'd always bring Ronnie in, and they'd all talk to her, and she's like, I don't speak Spanish. Ronnie
would do that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's for sure.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we'd go back. We had all the fixing. Carlos is on the grill doing up that. And then corn on the cob with that's grilled, though.
Elote?
Over spit with, you know, usually the cayenne pepper. And it's going to come from almost like a food truck, but it's a stand. And the one that I wanted to get was a stand that is at the El Paso Diablos Minor League Baseball Stadium. It was phenomenal. I was literally sitting there eating it. I had corn in my hair Ronnie had to come get me and take me away from the stand because I was going to town on it. It was so good.
What the hell, you're rolling it?
It was, you know, you eat it.
Yeah.
Midwest style, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, you see them, and they're, like, plucking each kernel out. I'm like, nah, man. I'll brush off later.
Right.
But so that corn on the cob from the El Paso Diablo Stadium. And, you know, I want to give people an option. I don't want steak.
Mm-hmm.
So the we'd also do some pollo asada. Chicken, but it wouldn't be traditional. It'd be shredded.
Shredded.
And Veronica would be doing it because it's one of my favorite meals. Mm-hmm. So I'd give people an option.
Right.
You know, shredded chicken. Tacos or fajitas, however you want to do it, and then the carne asada from, you know, Carlos.
Yeah, I mean,
cooking it all up.
I mean, that's a very Arizona.
Totally.
You know, Southwest.
Whereas
in Colorado, mine would be more like the smothered burrito, which not many people know about until you actually go to Denver.
Right.
And go to, I mean, everywhere you go, they throw it and they smother it in pork chili.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything. I mean,
oh, you like that?
Eggs. Oh, yeah, that's my gig.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mexican restaurants in like northern Arizona that everything you ordered, you could do, even if it was like Arvada or something, you could do it enchilada style. So no matter what they had, mm-hmm. it's enchilada over the top.
Yep. Yeah.
And the burritos, talk about the burritos the size of your head. But it was...
Wow, that's anyway. A big burrito.
you've got to get two. So, and then for dessert, you know, the Midwest has to come through, and it'd be chocolate cake from Portillo's.
You got to love that.
Yep.
That's a good call. Yeah. I mean, I would throw in a little bit of the Midwest for mine, just only for the mere fact that I've been here more than I've been in Denver now.
Yeah.
But I'd still go back to my roots of the smothered burrito and then just, you know, whatever you find on a taco wagon, just serve
yep.
that shit.
No, I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, and I grew up out in the sticks in Iowa when I was in high school or childhood and whatnot, so I...
You want to talk about growing up in the sticks? Did I tell you guys this story about, you know, I grew up outside of Iowa, middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I go in the Marines. I'm in Japan on a military base.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up and we're having lunch. And it's, you know, what you would think a military or Marine Corps base is. You know, mm-hmm. you stick a tray out, they put whatever on there.
Slopping on there, yeah.
Right, and you go on. Well, you could ask, or you'd say, okay, I want that one or this one or whatever. And I'm looking at some. I'm not even sure what it is. At first, I was like, well, maybe it's some kind of potatoes. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like, what's that? And the guy goes, scallops. So my 18-year-old mind thinks... scalloped potatoes.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know what a scallop was.
Right.
Yep.
So I stick the tray out. I'm like, okay, cool. And they throw some on there. We go sit down, and everybody's eating, you know, Marine style, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Elbows out, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, guarding your plate.
Get your hands,
you know,
out
mugging
of
at other people, you know, like you're aggressive.
Get your hand out of the way or it's going to get taken.
And I'm eating, and I'm like, well, this tastes good, but this is weird. And I turn to one of the other guys, like, hey, man. Your scalloped potatoes taste weird? And he's like, oh, shit, yeah, I did. I didn't even know what a scallop was.
To be honest with you, I didn't either until I moved down here.
So he was like, what are you talking about, man? And I was like, yeah, that. And he's like, it's not a fucking potato, you dumbass. I was like, what, dude? He was like, it's a fucking scallop. And I'm like, yeah, scallop potatoes. We literally had that conversation. He's like, where the fuck are you from? And I'm like, Mercer County?
Mercer County.
Oh, God.
But think about it, though. When you're a kid.
That is true.
I mean, when you're a kid, you don't know any better. The first time you go out on your own.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I did my job interview here, I was, you know, fresh-faced, 21-year-old, and they took me to the President Casino. But that was when they were serving fine dining stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to wear a tie and everything. We rolled in there.
And when it was first there and it had the poker deck upstairs and all that
and
stuff.
And it still traveled the river.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they had a fine dining establishment hooked onto it. And you go there and you have dinner and then you get on the boat and you go down the river and all that. But they would have, I this is how much of a mama's boy I am. I literally called my mother and I go, what do I eat? And she goes, whatever they put in front of you, she goes, you're trying to get a damn job.
Right.
So, you know, I'd never had salad. I remember my mom saying, you can't go wrong with ranch. So I'm like, yeah, ranch that sucker, you know. Then they bring me gumbo, which I had no idea what that was all about. I realized later it had shrimp in it, you know. But
nice.
Yeah. You know, but, I mean, they had all these things. And, I mean, it's like the first time you go to homecoming and you go to a French restaurant with your date. And you're like,
yeah.
I can't read this menu.
I know I've told you guys a story about when the John Deere execs took us guys from Del Webb and Pulte out to dinner at the GCSA convention in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
So we're in the Gas Lamp District, and it's me and one other guy who's from Iowa. Shout out to DJ. Mm-hmm. And he's still in California, but he's from Des Moines, and we were flown down to San Diego for the convention by Del Webb and Pulte Homes. So we get down there. There's about 8 or 10 John Deere execs because we had a national account with them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, you know, we want to treat our national accounts right. They're going to take us out to dinner. Well, me and DJ were so far down on the totem pole, they just sent us because they didn't want to go.
Right.
So we go there, and me and DJ are sitting across from each other, and all these other execs are at the table. And it's fancy, man. Like, the GCSA convention is basically a khaki pant convention.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of superintendent types.
Yeah.
Well, and they're trying to wine and dine us so we keep these accounts. Like, we had nothing to do with any of that. But I look over, they pass out the menus, you know, and it's like one of those menus that has, like, the braid through it, and it's all leather.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, the different, it was, like, fancy. You know, the whole, they come through and they put the, you know, cloth on your lap for you, which I thought was a little weird. I was like, hey, man. Easy, bro.
Are you sure that was all they put there?
Yeah, no, there was no cupping or anything. But
all right.
So we're sitting there, and I'm like looking at it. I have no idea what is on. I can't even read this. Like, right. I have no idea what this food even is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, damn. And I look over at DJ, and DJ looks up and looks at me because I know he doesn't know either.
Right.
So I'm like, well, shit, man. I hope they start at the other end.
Right.
And I'll be goddamn they don't come right to me. And she's standing there, and she goes, well, sir, what can I get for you? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't want to butcher any of these names of this stuff,
right.
Like, because I don't even know how
Does
to say it.
Do they have any explanations or anything? Or
nothing.
Just list, oh,
nothing.
So that makes it worse.
And I'm like, and there's no prices or any of that
yeah.
stuff, you know? So I go, what's the special?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And she goes, whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, I'll have that. And I just close up and slide it over. And she goes, well, what will you have to drink? And I was like, oh.
They didn't have Pabst Blue Ribbon, did they?
I go, what's something classy? What's something classy?
Oh, shit.
You got Michelob?
Are you kidding me, Bill?
I swear to God. Yeah, you got to figure, I'm in my mid-20s. I'm out of the breeds. I'm, like, traveling all over the place. And these people send me down there as a representative for their company. And I'm like,
Michelob?
You got Michelob?
Oh, my God.
So
did they have it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did. And so... I'm like, mission accomplished. I feel like I did something. And then it's DJ's turn, and I'm just like waiting for him to do something. Like, I look over, and he folds it up, and he goes, I'll have the same.
That's funny. So what was the meal?
I don't know, but it tasted okay.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so, I mean, I thought it was funny that Travis would have a selection of Busch Light, or if it's on tap, then we're going Natty Light.
Oh, that stuff is so good.
So what would be your beverage of choice?
Oh, for the dinner?
For the dinner. Is your goal to have a fine wine, or is it to, I mean, or like us, where we're just like, let's get everybody hammered?
No, so basically what my menu consisted of is pretty much what we tried to do every 30 days out there. We would have an employee appreciation thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Fridays, we'd wrap it up a little bit early, and we would, you know, Carlos would fire up the grill. We'd all cook out, and they would always bring stuff too. Like, there was always sides that they would bring.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we were done, they were done for the day, and I'd pay them out the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how that started. And if we're basing it on something like that,
then you're gonna have a trough full of ice.
Yeah,
and beer.
It's gonna be a literally a trough. You know.
Yeah.
Like, just grab your own.
Grab
in there.
Your own and go.
And the guys never took my beer
because they. What were you supplying?
I would always throw in like a Hams, just because
you are from Mercer County.
Just
because
I didn't want
love it,
no Hams was almost impossible to find out there.
Yeah.
So then I would throw in a PBR or something.
Even worse.
I beg to differ, sir.
No, coming PBR up.
No, now I drink Coors Light or something.
Yeah, I mean, coming
simple, but
now you're.
Now I'm going the other way. I know.
Oh, see, but, I know where Coors is made, and I know what I've done in that stream that feeds that place. So no, absolutely not. I would go with like. I think I would probably, you know, like you say, maybe a trough of beer, but I would also, just because I know it gets me wild, but it's a whole selection of tequila.
Fine tequila. I'm buying you for Christmas.
You know.
Speaking of that, when I left that job with Del Webb, mm-hmm. those are the guys that bought me that fifth of mezcal, and it mm-hmm. was came in a...
I think you'd have to get past the mezcal, because that really does.
There was a worm in the bottle.
That's me going to prison if I'm drinking that.
The bottle, and they bought me they had a flask that was wrapped in leather that was all... engraved,
mm-hmm.
and then there's two shot glasses that were engraved. When I left there, the guys bought that for me, which I thought was
right,
really cool.
All right, so neither do you guys drink it straight, or you have the training wheels?
I don't drink it, period.
What?
No, I don't training wheel it.
No. I have to drink. I drink it like a normal drink.
Yeah, you sip it, which is how it's supposed to be. Yeah. I don't do that.
I can't. I mean, you do shots, you're asking for problems. But
we're
if you
talking
drink
tequila,
slow,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't drink that shit.
Yeah.
But if you ever, you have though.
I've taken shots of it.
I was gonna say you clearly have. So did you training wheel it?
No, you I just, never would. Well, shot. With my beer.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
So
no salt.
You had a chaser. Yeah. Yeah. So you had a chaser.
But yeah, you've got to have a chaser.
Yeah, you do have to have a chaser.
God, that stuff is terrible.
And a good beer, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. It's got to be a good beer, though, not Michelob.
You know what?
Jesus.
Nectar of the gods.
Now, you know, if it was now and I was, like, trying to class it up, I would go really classy and say Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. I can
like,
drink
I,
Blue Moon.
I don't mind Blue Moon.
With the orange slice?
Yeah.
I do.
You got to, you know, you're in San Diego.
Well, I mean, I started Busch Light in college because it was cheap.
Right.
I mean, it was cheaper beer. It was either that, Stroh's, Old Milwaukee.
Red Stripe.
You guys don't know cheap beer.
All right. What was your cheap beer?
My cheap beer, for less than a dollar, you could get a quart of Crooked Eye on base.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
And for $1.02, you could get a 40 of Mickey's. And
oh, Mickey's. Is that the one with the big mouth?
No, the Mickey, that'd be the Mickey's Big Mouth or Bumblebee's would be like if you were to buy a six-pack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they used to have Mickey's Ice. And they only sold it in a 4-pack. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason, because if you drank 5, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
It was some serious beer.
Well, that was like any of the ice beers they had in general. I mean, Miller Light Ice.
Well,
I
and they were all malt.
Like Bud Ice.
Yeah, Bud Ice. I mean, yeah, those things were lethal.
The difference here is these already started out in that 3.8 to 4 range because they were malt liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So we would drink King Cobra. We drink St. Ives.
King Cobra 40s.
Yeah.
Wow.
We would drink Oldie 40s. You know, whatever we could get for, you know, the $3 and whatever we had in our pocket.
Yeah.
You know,
because
we're, at this point, we're 21-year-old Marines. Mm-hmm. You know, that's,
or you had to find the night.
It's a Tuesday. We
got to
get drunk.
Night.
So when I was in college, my buddy and I, we would go get two Natty 40s.
Oh, boy.
We would drink them before we would go.
Just to get the party started.
Just to get
lubed up.
That, and then we would go down to Gin Rickey's for dollar rum and cokes on Thursday nights.
Okay, so dating myself a little bit here.
Oh, yes, you are.
But me and a gentleman from this area, when I came back from the Marines, there was, I want to say it was a $5 cover, and then it was nickel beers after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would split the Mickey's Ice. And then we would go in there with our last $5 usually, and then a pocket full of change that we got, you know, from the, you know, payphone.
Yeah.
We're going through every payphone looking for nickels.
Or cleaning out your cup holder.
Yeah, cup holder.
Your car.
Yeah, it's all like stained with ashes and stuff because Gary smoked. But anyway, sorry, G. That's kind of threw you out.
Under the bus you went, my friend. Under the bus.
I remember going to Ribco with just a pocket full of nickels, man, and a $5 bill.
Oh my God.
Oh, good times, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Good times.
I'm obviously a lot younger than both of you.
What?
But,
by 20 years in most cases.
Obviously.
They had the same thing when I was in college. Is
you the go, $5 cover
the $5
and then like a
cover.
Nickel beer.
But then I had a midterm the next day. Not to go off on a thing, but I had a midterm the next day. My buddy's like, hey, let's just go down for a couple. It's cool. And I was like, all right. Yeah, 2 o'clock. I didn't make the midterm the next day.
Really? See, I did. I took the Colorado State teacher's exam with a hangover to beat the band.
Dude, I couldn't get out of bed.
I was still hammered when I got there. I was like you yesterday.
Oh yeah.
When,
God. When I didn't think I was that bad, but
we're gonna get back to that. But you were talking about tequila, and it reminded me of a time at this place called San Felipe's in Flagstaff, Arizona. There was a guy that we knew came up from the valley, and my roommate in college, Aaron, he worked in Flagstaff too. So we get together with this friend of ours that was actually a friend of a friend, and he was coming up to play golf, and we were going to go to this place called Elephant Rocks, which is in Williams, Arizona. You're talking super high elevation. You're in the mountains. There's, you know, elk and all that stuff. It's 7,000 feet.
Right.
Well, we go out that night. We end up at this place called San Felipe's, which is kind of across from Northern Arizona University.
Okay.
And we're in there tearing it up. And they're like, hey, for you guys want to – we got tequila shots, and they're like, hey, do you guys want to try the challenge for, you know, going through all these tequilas?
Oh, sweet.
And they
Jesus.
Basically go up in cost.
I've done that.
And there's a gazillion of them in there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, all right, well, let's, you know, cost-wise, let's do the first three, and then we'll jump to the top, and we'll do a couple of those.
Right.
And they're like, well, the top one's $100. I'm like, okay, so let's go down a little
let's
bit from
down.
That, because we're not doing
come
that.
In, come back about six.
So we go through there, and we have our first ones. We're already drunk at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And we start to work our way through the list, and I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but we got thrown out.
Shocker.
And it was a bit of a shocker. So we went to the only...
That's generally what happens when you're on tequila. You're getting thrown out. I've been thrown out of a number of bars in the district, and
that's why I don't drink it.
And then we headed over... After we got thrown out of there, we headed towards NAU, and we ended up in an adult establishment, which I then proceeded to get thrown out of. And I almost arrested, actually. We end up somehow back at Aaron's place. We crash out. Well, we have our tea time the next morning. The friend that came up from the valley, he bailed. Mm-hmm. Me and Aaron were like, no, we're going. Mm-hmm. Aaron, who's actually from Illinois too, but by Chicago, home at Flossmoor, we go, and we're teeing off on number one, and I'm like borderline. I'm actually salivating right now, like the water building up in your mouth, like how sick I was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm just remembering it, and I'm standing on number one, and I'm like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Son of a bitch, it's coming.
And Aaron was like a shade of green, you know. And I look over. His last name is Schuessler. I'm like, Schuess, you doing all right, man? He's like, oh, no, man. So we get off the tee. We finish that hole. We go to the next one. Same thing. And this is all through Ponderosa Pines. It's actually beautiful in the mountains.
God.
And we're standing there on the green getting ready to putt, and I look down, and my hands are shaking. Like, I could make a full swing okay, but I was so hungover that when I looked down, my hands would start to do the shake.
Oh, no.
And
that's not a good sign. Not a good sign.
And just looking down at the ball, I was like, I'm not going to make it, dude. And he's like, he just threw it right on the green. And I'm like... Dude, and I walk off to the side and throw up. I was like, at least I have etiquette, bro.
Yeah, I got off the green.
Dude. We finished all 18. We get back to his place, and the guy that came up from the valley, who's actually has his doctorate now, mm-hmm. he works down in the valley, he was still out, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his doctorate in kinesiology, so he's like a workout fiend. So his body is body fat is something like 6%.
Oh, wow.
And so he was like four shots in, and we had to like carry him around.
Jesus.
You know, so he was not recovering.
Lame.
Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with golf, except damn.
Golf and drinking, dude.
Go hand in hand.
Go hand in hand. We've all had that point where you've either passed out underneath a bench on one of the holes, like at Palmer, you know, after a bachelor party. I mean, every bachelor party I've been to in the last 20 years, all involved a golf, at least around the golf. I know my bachelor party, we played 18 holes.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I was pretty smoked by about 12.
Well, I don't know how many people I've found asleep on golf courses, especially when I worked in the Phoenix metro area. Like, you would go out in the morning and just find a body there.
I mean,
you know, and you're like, oh, hey, dude, you alive? Yeah. What? Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I told you as a kid, the place I grew up at,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was where we went after work. Because we knew, if they were going to come find us, it was going to be a police helicopter, and there was plenty of places to hide. And they weren't going to spend a whole lot of time chasing around because all we were doing is just drinking on the course. But,
right.
But I mean, literally, the guy that sold my wife the flag for that place, he's like, why is he so? And she goes, he just grew up on that course. And he's like, I need the whole story. And I told him, I said, let me tell you a few stories about that. There was a number of nights there.
Willis Case in
North Denver. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where we worked at the local amusement park, which was just up the street. And when you're at Willis Case, you could see the top of the one roller coaster and a couple of the other rides, you know. But we'd go there after work and, whatever cheap beer we could find. And most of us would pass out in a sand trap somewhere, wake up in the – we'd wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and crawl. I mean, I only live 4 blocks away.
So nice.
I'd just crawl home and, my mom's like, what are you men? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We'll just let this one slide.
Well, in golf in particular, like running the business, that probably makes up – I don't want to say 50% of your revenue, but your F&B is controlled by...
Oh, my gosh. When you think about the tournaments that we held and how much beer goes out of there, I mean, I could name at least 3 outings where...
There's the golfer that doesn't drink when he plays because he wants to play well,
mm-hmm.
but 90% probably
are
out there to have fun, and they... associate having a few drinks with their buddies as they're doing it.
But you also have those guys that are good players when they're drinking. I mean, it's like bowlers.
There's a fine
bowlers
line.
Bowlers are the same way. I mean,
there's a fine line between swing lubricant and, I overdid it.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've had one of those days in a long time.
Well, next time.
Well, when we were in here that Friday evening testing stuff out, I was like, yeah, no, I'm getting a little where I don't want to hold on to a golf club. So I'm like, I'm going to have somebody else take over.
And it was probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It was probably a good idea.
It was.
Probably a good idea. So
there was a, we had a bev cart stolen from a private club that I was at in Arizona, and we found the cart on the course in like a rain shelter. Yeah, rain shelters are in Arizona too.
Right.
He was in the rain shelter, but the kid that took it was there too. Like
drunk?
He was passed out.
Oh, yeah. I
was
going to say drink. He drank half the cart, didn't he?
So I tried to get his parents to say, hey, he can work off whatever damages. And they were like, no, they just paid for all the damages and everything.
Perfect.
I was like, wow, okay.
Okay.
No, the kid's going to learn from that.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, how many times have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, that's reoccurring. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that's funny the way we made that leap there, but.
You know, when you get into booze, you get some stories.
Well, yeah, we start talking food, and then, you know, what are we going to drink with it? And golf does have that kind of. You look at Rich Beam.
Yeah.
Rich Beam was known for it. Well, John Daly, of course. Yeah. Rich Beam was the same way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys out there that you weren't real sure whether they were sober or not.
Yeah.
You know,
Rich Beam, just by those shoes he wore that after he won that PGA, and they were playing that year, his shoes were like, was it Hula Dancers on it or something? I can't remember. Like, it was like, you know, had one guy was playing a little guitar, ukulele on one, and then there was like a hula dancer on the other because they were in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he had shoes made up just so he could wear
just
that.
Just for that.
Yep. Even in the last, 5 years, who was the one guy that got busted for being hammered in one of the, they were in what, like Jamaica or someplace? Who was that?
I don't know, but oof.
There was a guy that was on the tour and he got a little wild.
Anytime that there's we were just talking about somebody the other day who's coming up. Actually, I think this last weekend was his 500th start.
Pat Perez,
500 starts on PGA.
Bam.
So wrap your head around this for just 1 second. Pat Perez has 500 starts, which means he's going to play a practice round and at least two competitive rounds, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even if he doesn't make the cut, that's three rounds every start.
Right.
So think about that. 3 times 500,
yeah,
1,500 rounds of golf, and that's just in the pro ranks, right? You're talking all his junior golf.
Well, I mean,
he's hit more competitive golf shots than I've probably hit in my entire life,
right,
combined practice,
right,
messing around, playing a video game, any of that.
Right.
Well, and the guy shoots videos, too, over all the shots he hits.
Yep.
I was kind of trying to figure out why was it such a big deal, but there's not many people that hit that many rounds.
Because
that play that many competitive tournaments.
Because he's been on tour for so long.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that doesn't always have his exemption. He's a borderline not getting his tour card back for the next year, which is based solely on money.
He literally is a journeyman.
Yeah, he's a journeyman.
He's literally a journeyman.
He's made a fantastic living doing it.
And he's got a following.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the guy, when he's in his younger days, he used to have a harem.
No doubt.
Following him,
and he still does, and he still makes a great living.
Yeah.
But his the reason that he plays so often is because he's trying to get his money built up. If he makes a cut, you know, the chances go up. The more cuts you make, you can be at the bottom of the tournament on the weekend, but you're still getting the money, which ultimately counts.
Well, and he was famous here at the Classic, you know, for being at the bar, but also gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his caddy one night won, I don't know, more than what he was going to make in the tournament playing poker.
Nice.
I mean, his caddy came in and Pat's trying to get him to pay for stuff the whole day as they're walking around the course. He goes, go over there and give me a Coke. You won a lot of money last night.
Yeah, right. I like it. You know? I like it.
So, but I mean, you know, there's some party boys out there. I mean, you know, they.
Oh, it takes a special kind, man. And, you know, the old day guys, like you go back to Lee Trevino and Raymond Floyd. Those guys would travel around and play heads-up bets before anybody even knew who they were.
Right.
Like, it was a thing, especially in El Paso, Texas, which is where Rich Beam is from, El Paso area. His dad
was actually... He's not a very tall guy, is he?
No, he's real, like 5'7", 5'6".
Yeah, he's not a very tall guy.
He would play for money a lot, but his dad was the coach at New Mexico State. For whatever reason, I know that. I don't know.
You know a lot of
random
shit.
I do.
Yeah.
But Raymond Floyd came traveling out to play Lee Trevino in El Paso before anybody knew who they were.
Right.
And Raymond Floyd won, but not, like, barely at the end.
Right.
And then he was like, hey, let's get the hell out of here. This is not a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bolted. But, like, Lee Trevino will tell that story where it was big money to gamble.
Well, that's how a lot of them got to the tour.
Yep, they had to get that money.
You know, and Lee literally said, he goes, you want to talk about a putt that's shaky, as he goes, try a putt that's worth about $20,000, and he goes, and you have $2 in your pocket.
Yeah, and you don't have it.
And you don't have it. If you miss that putt, you owe that money. And he goes, I didn't have it. And he goes, I had to make that putt.
And where he was playing, may not have had a chance to pay that off again.
They were going
to
shoot him before he got out of the parking lot. But they said, you know, Phil even, you know, he's kind of an old school guy too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do have their betting games during the week.
Oh, sure, but those guys all have that money.
Yeah, now, but he also makes sure they all pay up.
The difference would be like Rich Beam when he was trying to make his way up. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting sponsored financially by a bunch of the members of the club that he was at, because they were going out and playing money games, and he was just taking everybody's money. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey man, you could probably do something with this. So they're actually the ones that financed him to start doing that.
Right.
And now, Rich Beam, I don't know if he's even active on the Champions Tour.
I think he doesn't. He do some TV stuff.
I
think he does some things.
I'm gonna look into it just because he's one of those guys that when he beat. He was the first guy that actually went head-to-head with Tiger in a major. It was a PGA Championship, and he pulled it out. Yeah. Remember that? Like, he hit that four-wood in there on a par five. And,
But there's a reason why he could hit that shot.
He'd been under pressure.
He'd been under that kind of pressure. And honestly, I think the money pressure is far greater than what you'd ever find in any major.
Yeah.
You know, because they got people watching you. You're either losing somebody's money or you're getting ready to collect.
You're going to rake it in, or you're going to go hungry.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
you're going to clean your pockets.
Yeah, I think we ought to look into that because there's some legendary guys that just played for cash.
They did a whole series on this about 3 years ago on the Golf Channel.
Did they?
That are famous stories of people like, you know, winning, losing money on tour or off the tour. You know, but I think you also see people like was it Joe Dahman and those guys. They. Hey, I missed the cut. Let's play for some money here, and people show up, and
And they go have another game.
They go have another game.
Yeah, those guys, and they're fun to watch.
They're funny.
Yep.
You know, they're not a holes about it. They actually get out there and they treat the people they're playing well and tease them and do all that stuff. So.
Well, I've only played for money around here a couple of times.
We're not talking about this.
No, we're not talking about that. Me and you were actually partners in a money game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about between me and you.
No.
We can't do that.
Where our team won $100 from Jacob and Jimmy. Remember?
Yeah, I played really good that day.
Yeah, we can't bring up the fact that you pretty much paid for Summer's books for...
We don't need to get into that, Travis.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's what we're here for.
Also, we got on this drinking rant. Was I really that bad yesterday?
I'm just going to say...
If we'd lit a match, you would have been a dragon.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we actually rode yesterday, which me and Chris typically walk, but we knew Travis was coming the end of the year, so Jesus. Got a cart, and Travis rode with me. I knew Travis's brother had been in town.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I got the cart. I actually, because Travis had left his bags here at the studio, so I loaded everything up. And he doesn't mean it that way. Yeah. Their last name is White.
Yeah.
So,
crazy white
Travis, I got the carts all loaded up with clubs. Travis comes over and he sits next to me, and I was like, "Hey, man, how you feeling?" He's like, "I'm okay." I was like, "You still drunk?" "Oh no," I'm like, "I'm just saying I can smell it coming out of your pores."
Where do they brew that? What's on the can there? Where do they brew that at?
St. Louis.
So my a little back history on me, I worked in law enforcement for quite some time, and I had several DUIs, not me personally, but arrest. And Travis is sitting there, and I'm like, "Hey, man, indicator one, I can see right now."
as I just bought a six-pack.
So I said, "You know, bloodshot, watery eyes.
Yeah.
You know, smell of alcohol coming or alcoholic beverage coming from your person." Mm-hmm. So I say, "Hey, dude, you think you could pass some standardized field sobriety tests right now?" "Oh, yeah, no, I'd be good." It's like, "Do you know what standard?"
You should have put him through him.
I said,
"You should have made him do it before he teed off."
I lasted the one where you got to watch the finger. He went one way, and I failed.
I said, "Well, standardized field sobriety test would consist of a one-leg stand and a walk and turn and a horizontal gaze nystagmus, or an HGN. Mm-hmm. A nystagmus is an involuntary jerking of the eyes, which is onset by a depressant such as alcohol." So I said, "Do you think you could pass that?" Oh, yeah, I'm good. It's like, "Hey, dude, I'll do one wag, and I bet I can tell." So I start my wag, and he already gets a jump, and I'm like, "You would not pass."
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say he was over an 08, because I think he was probably below that.
I was way below that.
But if you were in operation of a commercial vehicle with a CDL license, you would have not passed that one because that threshold is 0.04.
Operating while intoxicated.
I got driven there yesterday.
Did you?
He did. And then I drove him around the course.
Perfect.
And then his beer was skunky, so he threw
it away. Oh, it was terrible.
Dude, you ended up throwing stuff out, and I never see you.
Yeah, that was...
Out.
Right? Oh, that stuff was bad.
But the course was... I thought the course was in great shape for that time
November
of year.
7th.
And slick. The greens were still pretty quick.
Yeah. So
it was a good time.
It was a good time.
And I won.
And you did win. You did win.
With that note, so now Travis was borderline intoxicated at the course. I won. It's our last outside round of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What else to talk about?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Nothing different for me. This beer's really good, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Right on. Anything else? So what do we got in the hopper for next week?
So we'll talk about whatever event we got going on this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there'll be some big names in it because there always is this time of year. And then we've also got that match coming up.
This weekend?
No, it's Thanksgiving, 26th.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So we got that coming up.
We can always come back to. We were going to talk about the alternative tour that was going to offer upwards of $40 million.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let me look into that one. We'll talk about that next week.
Let's put a pin in that one and we'll come back to it.
And you know there'll be some announcements probably actually before this one comes out about the studio in here and what we're going to do with the Golf Academy,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go from there.
Come learn some golf.
Oh hey, tell your stepmom hi for me.